It is well with my soul. It's not so well with my body, but it's okay with my soul, all right? It is well with my soul, number 417. If you'd like to stand by these things, stand. You don't have to. You don't want to. 417.
Of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, not just part of it, but the whole. He had to pay for it all, or I'm still in bad shape. Well, I believe Jesus died for my sin, but you know, you got to do your part too. No. No, you have no part. You have no part in the work of salvation at all, except to believe. That's it. And that's not a work. That's just faith. Well, believing, then that means you have to do something to be saved. You got to believe. That's faith. That's not a work. It's not anything but just taking God at His word. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Wow. Good song. Great song. Good doctrine. Good doctrine. Jason, you got something for us? Okay.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This wouldn't be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. For I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Song someday. I will be a soldier, brave and true, and ever firmly take my stand. As I onward go and I daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand, for I need this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
All right. Well, you might just want to get 188 ready to go in your chorus book. And then turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We were talking about who are the false prophets last week. We saw that kingdom subjects are to be careful for false prophets. We looked at the characteristics of false prophets. They wear sheep's clothing. They imitate believers, but they really aren't. Inwardly, they're wolves or unbelievers. And their fruits reveal them for what they are. What is their fruit? Well, not necessarily wickedness in its most corrupt sense, but in a deceiving sense. And they do not go according to the word. And that's what we ended up with last week, looking at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. And then comparing this to the church age. Because the Matthew chapter 7 is still part of the Sermon on the Mount, which relates primarily to the kingdom age when the Lord will rule and reign. But there are several things as we go through the Sermon on the Mount that are applicable to the church as well. And the church is in the same condition today. We need to be constantly seeking to find out who the true prophets are and who the false ones are. You say, well, I think it's okay to find out who the true prophets are, but why bother the false prophets? Oh, no, you need to know. They are in our midst, and we were told in the verses of Scripture that they're in our midst. Another thing that they do is they often do things that makes them appear to be ministers of the Lord. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, and I want to start at verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, some of these false prophets will do miracles. Miracles performed, though, do not mean they are of God. Okay? Let me put it simply out there. Miracles performed do not mean they are of God. The Antichrist himself will perform miracles. So that should show you that just because a man does a miracle, or claims to have done a miracle, that he must be of God. Go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. Revelation 13, verse 14, in reference to the Antichrist and what he will do. Revelation 13 and verse 14. Actually, I'm going to go right up there to verse 13 too. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. You know, calling fire down from heaven, that's a miracle. I mean, that's above nature to be able to do that. The only thing close to that would be lightning bolts, something like that. But we're talking about calling fire down just like Elijah did. So they imitate the things that the prophets, the true prophets of the Lord do, but that does not make them true prophets. By means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now this is the false prophet doing miracles so that the Antichrist will ultimately get glory for it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 also warns us about this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Excuse me. By the way, this sinus problem that I seem to have developed here, I believe, is related to my chemotherapy, okay? Just so that you know that I don't have a cold or I'm not flu-like symptoms or something like that. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked, I believe in this reference it's referring to the Antichrist, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So this Antichrist will perform miracles and deceive many by the miracles and lying wonders that he will do. And I believe the population of our earth is ripe and ready to receive lying wonders. The biggest lie going today is the lie of evolution. And everybody believes it. Even intelligent people, if you want to call them intelligent, believe it. And follow it. Miracles are allowed to be done by Satan's ministers of light in order to deceive people and gain followers. That's what the devil does. Well, back here in chapter 7, verse 21, false professors
rejected by the Lord. In verse 21, this will be at the judgment of the unsaved. I don't believe this is the church judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. I believe this is the judgment of the unsaved. Notice that this group is a large group. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So there's going to be a lot of people in the end times who are going to be religious. Okay, they're going to be religious. And religion is going to really take off, I believe, in a big way. And many are going to follow false preachers and false teachers. And the Lord warns, even in reference to his own kingdom, the Sermon on the Mount, he warns them about these who will say, Lord, Lord, like as if they're going to heaven. They're not going to enter into heaven. And these words that the Lord gives out, I never knew you, those are striking words. I never knew you, that he's going to say to them. Notice in whose name they do their works. Lord, Lord. You know, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I hear this Benny Hinn all the time saying, in the name of Jesus, I declare you healed. You know, receive your sight, raise up. He hasn't raised up the dead yet. But they do it all in the name of my Lord. And I listen to the rest of what they say, and it's all corruption. It's all false doctrine. But it's all being done in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. Don't you find it offensive when a coworker yells out, Jesus Christ! Something like, doesn't that hurt you? Or, God damn. Those are bad words. All right, young people, make sure you know that the preacher isn't saying that. That's bad to talk like that. When they take my Savior's name in vain like that, that hurts, offends me. They're going to say, but they do it in a deceiving way, lying wonder way. Lord, Lord, well, in thy name we've cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work religiously. No, iniquity, he calls it. He doesn't even give them the benefit of what they've been doing as being, you know, goodwill. He says, your work is iniquity. I do believe, and this is my opinion, but I believe I have a lot of scripture that I could give to you on this, that the ones who are in the biggest trouble before God in the judgment are going to be those in religious garb. Those who are pretending to be ministers of the Lord when they're actually ministers of the devil. I believe they're in bigger trouble than anybody else. You might think of some of the worst atrocities that men or women have ever done and say, well, boy, wait till they meet the Lord. No. Wait till these meet the Lord. Who have in the name of the Lord throughout their whole careers, name the name of the Lord, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Mary and Joseph and the saints and all these things that they've repeated over and over again, Saint Peter and everything else, all these names that they bring in to hear the Lord of glory. Someday say these words to them, I never knew you. Let me ask you, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? I know the Lord. I know the Lord. Ever since I've been saved, I've known the Lord. I know Him now. And you know what I also know? He knows me. He knows who I am. I'm a believer of His. I'm a child of His. So often in prayer, many times I'll just say, dear God, I thank you that you're my God. Thank you you're my Father. Thank you that I'm your child. You know, he wants to hear you say those things. He said, well, why do you pray like that? Doesn't he know? He likes to hear it. Some of the sweetest words on this earth and in this existence come from the mouth of my children and my grandchildren. You know, I love to hear my little Katie say, Grandpa. I just love to hear that. I love to hear my grandson Caleb say, Papa. And I don't ever get tired of hearing that. I never will. Well, your Heavenly Father doesn't get tired of you acknowledging who you are to Him and who He is to you. And I just love to wrap my arms around them and say, yeah, Grandpa loves you and Papa loves you. That's a relationship, folks. Don't ever get stuck into a rut of religion that you just, well, doctrinally I know I'm a child of God. No, you need to enter into the reality of that and have a good fellowship with the Lord up in heaven. And when we sing songs about who we are and what we are and what He has done for us, like that, oh boy, it is well with my soul song, you know. You ought to enter into that and say, that's me, that's for me, that's what He did for me, that's my God. You ought to enter into that and rejoice in these things. That's why we do have church, by the way. You know, we don't have church just to take up your time every week. We don't have time. Here just because you have an obligation and, well, you know, I'm glad the pastor's here. At least somebody's here. No, look, this is real. We come here to fellowship, to worship, to praise the Lord, to study the Bible, to understand things better, to know more about our Savior Jesus Christ. You should be begging the pastor to tell you more about Jesus. And if you can't beg him to do it, you pray for him to do it. Just give the pastor something good to say to me today about my Savior Jesus Christ. Help him to teach me something good about the Bible, the Word of God, so I'm better equipped to serve him. You ought to pray that way. Oh, those words, I never knew you. You know, there are several things in the Bible that really strike out at you at times, and this is one of them. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. Yep. So, he then goes on to talking about wise men and foolish men. In verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. So this connects to the message. It's not something disconnected or anything. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And now he goes into this story about the rich man and the foolish man, or the wise man and the foolish man. And in verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. By the way, the rock is the Word of God. That's what it is. Because the Lord said, I will tell you who I will liken this wise man unto. Someone who keeps my sayings. Somebody who keeps my sayings. So he says, the wise man built his house upon the rock. Well, the rock also is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe it's also the Word of God itself, the sayings. Because if you believe in the sayings, you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to be saved. And that's a wise man building his house of life upon a rock. And so when the rains come, the floods come, and the winds blow and beat upon that house, and that's going to happen. You know, you take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, guess what? This world's going to be against you. And the devil is going to be against you. And sometimes even your own flesh is going to be against you. So the winds blow and the floods come and the rains come down and beat upon that house and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon the rock. It's good to see someone who's born again. It's good also to see someone who's recently been born again. Because just a few days ago, their house was built upon the next man's sand. And now all of a sudden, their life is built on a rock, and they're rock solid, we could say. They're grounded and founded and settled. And now to them, the Word of God is everything. And they want to pattern their life after the sayings of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ is so precious to them. Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." You know, if you build your life upon the sand of men's sayings, by the way, I believe that's what the foolish man has done here. He's rejected the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then what sayings has he received? Well, obviously it must be men's words. He's believing in men's words. And men have a lot of words. Isn't it interesting how many books there are on religion? If you go into the library, go to the religion section, there's a ton of books there. You know what book really only matters? This one. This one right here. This is the book that matters. A good library would have just one book in it. Okay. You want the religious section? It's right over there. And there's a big, huge shelf there with one book sitting on it. The Bible. The Holy Bible. There you go. That's what you're responsible for, by the way. You're not responsible for what all has been written in all the books of all the clerics and the clergymen and the seminarians and everything. I'm not saying you should never read any of those books or anything, but you're not responsible for those. You are responsible for this. And have you received the sayings in this book? Well, you know, that book is complicated. And a lot of people have different views and different interpretations about that. All right, then. Let me take you to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I know it's complicated. I know you can get so confused you'll end up in hell because God just likes to confuse everybody. And you know there's all kinds of ways to heaven. You do know I'm being facetious, okay? John 3:16. This is a very confusing verse. When you're done reading this, you'll never know how to get to heaven. "For God so loved the world." Now, what's so confusing about that? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus Christ, who was with him from eternity past. He's been his Son from eternity past. He's begotten because he's the first one. He's first above all the rest. He gave his only begotten Son. Now there's a lot in all that. You got to read all the rest of the New Testament. He was born of a virgin. He walked among us. He performed miracles to declare and show who he was. He was the Son of God from heaven. He spoke many words while he was here, some of which we're studying in the book of Matthew chapter 7. No man could find any guilt or fault or lie in him. In fact, the one who condemned him to be crucified declared him innocent. Pilate said, "I find no fault." He didn't say, "I find some fault." He said, "I find no fault in him." Yet he condemned him to die. Little did he know that he was fulfilling what the reason why he came. To die in my place. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever..." Well, that's a tough word. Whosoever. I don't understand that. You know what the Calvinist does? He takes whosoever out and puts elect in there. Well, what have they done? They've confused it by changing the word. It says whosoever. Whosoever's you. Whosoever's me. There's nothing confusing about that. That whosoever believeth. Well, I got baptized as a child. Yeah, that doesn't say whosoever got baptized as a child. Well, you know, I've been to all the churches and I can't find any that really know what they're talking about. And, no, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say whosoever checks out all the churches and figures out which one's right. Whosoever believeth in Him, the Son whom God gave. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Well, that's confusing. Should not perish. Three words. Should. All right. Not. Negative. Perish. That'd be the same as to be lost. Perish. Lost. But. Contraction, right, honey? Is that a contraction? No. What is that? It's a connective word, right? Conjunction. Thank you, my English professor. Conjunction. But you don't want to be perishing and be lost. But have everlasting. Well, now that's a difficult word. You know, the theologians have written many books about eternity and eternal life and everlasting. You know, the Bible just says what it says. It's a word. Everlasting. It's going to last forever. Now, you can write a book about it. 800-page book on that word. Well, what's going to change after you read it? Everlasting life. Life. Here you all sit. Some of you have been sitting here for 38 years, right? Right, Dave? Okay, Dave and Gloria. And you know what's happening? You're getting closer to death all the time. We're all just getting closer to death. Well, the only solution is John 3:16. Everlasting life. You know, we're all going to have our own funerals. We're all going to be 6 feet under, you know, laying in a casket, dead as a doornail, you know, dead as can be. But we're going to rise again someday because we've been promised everlasting life. Everlasting life. In fact, the rest of the Bible even tells us when your body dies, ceases to keep on living, your soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord. And you're going to be alive, consciously alive, spiritually alive with the Lord until the resurrection day. And why is there going to be a resurrection day? Why is there any hope in any of us that we're going to live forever? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You want to make that confusing and compoundedly unable to understand it? Go ahead. Receive the sayings that the Lord says, and you'll be a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And when the winds blow and everything comes at you, it's not going to shake your house. Your house is going to stay firm right where it is. Because it's based upon the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that hears these sayings and doesn't do them, it's like a man building his house upon the sand. And his house is going to have a great fall when it's all done. Which foundation will you build your house upon? Which foundation do you have it on? If someone asked you right now, if you died right now, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? If someone asked you that question right now, do you have an answer? Or are you kind of cloudy about it? Well, you know, I've done pretty good and not too bad. I'm not any worse than the guy next to me over here. Well, that's all true. But you still need to be saved from your sin. You're still a lost sinner until you get saved. And you become a saved sinner. Which foundation will you build your house upon? The rock, Christ Jesus, and the sayings of the Lord? Or the sand of this world and the theories and ideas of men? What will it be? Well, what's your response? Verse 28 and 29. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, the scribes stood there in their temple places and their places of worship in the various towns and everything, and they would just read. They would put forth the rules and the regulations that you had to keep and everything. And many of them didn't even do it themselves. We've already read that. Jesus says, this is what you ought to believe. And the people were astonished at his doctrine. You might sit here this morning astonished at the simplicity of John 3:16. Why, that is so simple. Why can't anybody get a hold of that? Astonished at his doctrine. Because he preached with one having authority. And my Savior has all the authority he needs. The authority of his Father up in heaven. Let's get our chorus book out. Jason, if you could run up here to the piano quick. All right. I don't know if the kids are sleeping or not, but we're going to sing this song. You say, oh, it's a child song. You know, some of the songs that the children sing have more doctrine and more truth in it than some of these contemporary songs that they got out there today. The simplicity of this. 188 in your chorus book, if you need that. If not, you follow along with me as we sing it once again. The wise man and the foolish man. And we have motions to do with it, okay? You watch me. See if you can tell who the wise man is and who the foolish man is as we sing. Okay, here we go. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Oh, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. Floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the sand went smash. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. Oh, the blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord. So that song is a good song, isn't it? It's right out of the Bible. The Lord gave that song to us. And somebody put music to it and made it a nice little song to sing. And the children sing that song a lot. But it's a good one. But let me, in closing, ask you. What foundation are you on? The rock of the Lord's words or the sand of this world's understanding of things? What is it? Do you know you're saved? Is heaven your home? If you died right now, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Do you know the Lord? Does he know you? Well, I think he does. The judgment day is going to come, and if you don't have the right answer, he's going to say, I never knew you. How is it the Lord could never know somebody? Now, there's something you go ahead, take that home, think about it all day. Let me know what you come up with. But the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. Well, could be that he might be saying there, I never knew you in the relationship that I ought to know you in. You should be my child and you're not. My Father in heaven should be your heavenly Father and you're not. Never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And to depart from the Lord for eternity is hell. That's hell. Lake of fire. Where are you headed? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Well, I'm going to Chicago. I know, I'm going to Chicago tomorrow. But look, When you die, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? I know of no other places. Well, what about purgatory? what about it? Give me a Bible verse and we'll talk about it. There is no such thing. Jesus took your purgatory at the cross. He paid for you there at the cross. He paid for all your sin there and He purged you from all your sin. It's not something you can do. You've got to just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we close, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you look me up or my wife up, depending if you're a man or a woman, and we'll have you come to know the Lord as your personal Savior. It's the best thing you could ever do in your life. In fact, you could do it right now while you're sitting there. Repent of your sin, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll be saved. That's all it takes. It's that simple. Well, you want it more confusing? I can make it for you. You got to get baptized when you're a baby. You got to give 1/10 of all your income to the church. You got to try and be better than the other guy next to you. Keep the 10 commandments. Oh, Pastor, I can't do any of those. I'm not a baby anymore, and my mom forgot to get me baptized when I was a baby. See, you're in big trouble. You know what you need? You need a Savior. You need a Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants to save you. You need to throw all those things aside. Don't depend upon them at all. And trust what Jesus did for you at the cross. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray if there's any here today not saved, that they'd get saved before they go home. Get the matter settled. I pray for the believers that they will be encouraged even the more because they've built their house upon a rock. Help us to go out into this world and share the good news with people because they need the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.